Morning, everyone. It's good to be here again. And I think last time I was here, I forgot to, a bit shy about this, but forgot to send greetings from the Chinese Christian Church of Virginia, CCCVA, where I'm normally at on Sunday. You know, greetings, or at least unofficial greetings. Yeah. Let's turn to God's Word, Philippians chapter 4, toward the end of the book, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. You know, my personal study, it doesn't seem like a long passage, but as I look at it, like right now, it does seem like a bit long to read, but I'll read it anyway, so bear with me. This is God's Word, and it's a very beautiful passage as it concludes the letter to the Philippian church by the Apostle Paul. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to the end, verse 23. This is God's Word. I, that's Paul, rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even Thessalonica, you sent me help again for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this amazing testimony that we have through the work that you have done through the Apostle Paul way back many centuries ago. And through your church, the brothers and sisters in the city of Philippi, so far away from here, and yet through your spirit and through the physical word that we have with us that we can read, we are impacted today too, encouraged and instructed through your word. We pray, Father, that you would grant us the grace that we need to have ears to hear and to seek after you. Help us to know you, and even as the brother reminded me earlier, to enjoy your presence right now, to fully enjoy it forever and ever. Please guide us now as we look into your word and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. 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 So it's only been like around a month after Christmas, right? And you know, with Christmas, a big thing is presents and stuff. So I thought I'd ask each one of you this question. You know, what was the best gift you gave this Christmas. Best gift you gave. And especially as the Lunar New Year is coming up too, I think people give some gifts or kind of give gifts during that time too. You know, what can you give? Right? It might not be something material, you know, like video games or a box of chocolates or gift cards. I think those are popular nowadays. But it also could be even more importantly, like a gift of your time. Or maybe your talent. And I don't know who shovels the snow around here. I know, I'm sure the church probably hires someone to shovel the parking lot, but the pathways, the walkways, I don't think they do that, do they, Pastor Arthur? Oh, you hire people to shovel the pathways too? Wow, you guys are good. At CCCBA, we don't hire people. I guess someone with a strong arm and back shovels the snow and ice there. But you get the picture, though. Someone has to give, right? And I'm sure in this church, people give in all sorts of ways, like the praise team. Thank you so much for the music. I think if you guys might have heard or even watched the inauguration, I think there was this one musician, she had to sing without music. I didn't listen to it. I just heard about it. And just imagine if the praise team wasn't here this morning providing music for us to sing. And we just had to sing a cappella in all different keys. That would be interesting, right? So what's the best gift that you gave? I want you to be creative and think about it. You know, in the outline here, you got a short outline talking about Paul's gift and Philippians' gift, right? The Philippians, they gave, the Christians there gave Paul a material gift, right? He was in a time of great need. He was in jail, and the jails weren't like jails here in the United States where it can be relatively cushy. I've seen some pictures, and I'm like, wow. Especially the low security prisons. They seem, I've seen some pictures, they look pretty nice, but it wasn't, you know, jails back then were basically like a dungeon, right? And he was in prison and in most likely in Rome, and that's when he wrote this letter. And when he received the gift, he wanted to give back to the Philippians. And being in material need, he didn't have stuff to give back, to send back all the way to the church in Philippi in the nation of Macedonia, right? So what he did was he wrote this amazing letter that we have preserved for us in God's word, this historical letter, the letter to the Philippian church, Philippians. And through this letter, Paul blessed the brothers and sisters in the church there because he repeatedly reminded them of, one, who Christ is, two, the love of Christ and the greatness of Christ. Who Christ is, Christ's love, and Christ's greatness. And at the end of this letter, as we've just heard, he reminds the Christians there that Jesus Christ is the secret to contentment in any situation. It doesn't mean you feel it automatically, but he is the secret of contentment. You have focus on it. And it may not come naturally to focus on Jesus when you're feeling like you're missing something. And for those of us who are older, I'm pretty sure you know that it's not how much stuff you have, how much wealth you have, how big your bank accounts are and your investments, or for the younger people, the toys you have. You know, it's only natural to not be content. You always want something more. And that's why those ads that you see on your phone or on your computer when you're browsing the web, those ads that pop up, that's why they're so powerful. those marketers, those ads, they tap into this natural desire for more. And the glow fades. Once you get something, it might satisfy you for a little bit, for a while, maybe even for a whole year or more. But eventually it fades, and you want more. So the reality is only Jesus satisfies. And that's what the Apostle Paul wanted to remind the Christians there. Remind of Jesus, right? Remind of Jesus. And that's one of the reasons why the Philippians love Paul so much, because he's always reminding them of Jesus. Just think about it. It is important to be reminded of who Jesus is. It's so easy to forget, very easy to forget. We always need these constant reminders. I need it. Now, when Paul first visited the Philippians, he wasn't there for very long. You can read about his time, his first time there in Acts chapter 16, right? But even though he was only there for maybe a few weeks, maybe a little bit longer, while he was there, by God's grace, he planted a church. Imagine that, planting a church in a few weeks or a few months. That's pretty incredible, especially in this day and age, right? So when the people there, they learn about who Jesus is, how he is God in the flesh, and as we heard earlier today, how Jesus died for them, and he lived for them, died for them, raised again from the dead, reconciling them to the one true God. So when they trust in Jesus, just like we just sang, they receive eternal life, being reconciled to the one true God. And it was such a joyful time for them. If you recall, for Paul, he was imprisoned in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. But even then, he was rejoicing. If you recall, he was him and some of the people with him were singing hymns and praise songs to God while being chained in a dungeon downstairs, some dark basement of some house, right? But it was a joyful time for the Christians there. They loved Paul, and they wanted to help him. Now, there may be some of you here today that are on the fence about Jesus. So, you know, just I want you to be reminded what a beautiful gift it is to have eternal life. We sang that from John 3:16. We heard about it. The forgiveness of sins that we have, eternal life, is available to you right now. For those of you who are on the fence, there may be some of you on the fence, or maybe some who have been faithful believers for many years, and for some reason, there may be doubts all of a sudden, and that can happen. Happen to any of us. You know, it happened to me. You know, doubts. Know right now that Jesus is the one. Through him, you're reconciled to the Father. Through him, you have eternal life. And through him, you have the forgiveness of your sins, as Pastor Arthur reminded us just a few minutes ago. And it's as simple as believing in Jesus Christ so that you're saved. That's what Paul said to one guy in Philippi. You could read through it later on today, Acts chapter 16. You find that advice from the Apostle Paul toward the end of the chapter. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But then shortly after that, he was forced to leave the city. And the people, the church, didn't forget about him. They loved him. They received the gift of eternal life, reconciliation with the Father. So they wanted to bless him back. And as you can imagine, in the day and age before cell phones, and you got all these like tracking devices, like two of my children are in West Virginia right now. I could track them on my phone. Actually, I don't have my phone. It's probably in my jacket there. I could track them on my phone. Just to make sure they're okay, right? I'm not stalking them. But back then, it's hard to keep track of people. But somehow they did. And whenever they find out where Paul was, somewhere in the world, a lot of times Paul was in material need, and they would send help to him, right? This happened at least once when Paul left Thessalonica, and you can read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul tells the church in Corinth, says, yeah, I was in need, but the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. Who are these brothers from Macedonia? Most likely the Christians in the church of Philippi. Philippi is in Macedonia. So when Paul wrote this letter, guess what? He was in need again, and they knew he was, they heard about how he was in need. And this is the thing that blows my mind, how, what a great commitment it is back then. And nowadays, if I want to send something to someone or give to a missionary, right, you could just Venmo them some money, right, or PayPal. And how easy it is if there's a collection here and you could just drop a check in the basket for the missions department, for missions, and the church gives. How easy it is. But back then, guess what? The church there, they hand-delivered their gifts to the Apostle Paul. And in this case, we find it's a guy named Epaphroditus. Hand-delivered. Can you imagine that? Going from Philippi and Macedonia all the way to Rome. You can look on a map. My geography is a little bit bad nowadays. But it would be a long walk, right? And Paul says that the guy nearly died along the way, that shouldn't surprise any of us if you're traveling on foot. Let's say if I had to travel on foot to New York or out to Chicago from here. Yeah, I'm sure I'll run into some problems, right? So Paul was happy. He was overjoyed. What did he say? He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me, right? And then more importantly, for us today, he says, not that I seek the gift, verse 17, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. This is different. I have received full payment and more, and well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. And check this out. It's a fragrant offering, not to Paul, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, the triune God. The gift that they gave to Paul supplied his need. But even more so, this gift was a sacrifice that was pleasing to God, acceptable to God. Right? Because in Paul's mind, when he saw that gift from the Christians there, it was like a tree that has borne much fruit. Sacrifice to God from them, right? And it wasn't just the things that he had that was given. I mean, Epaphroditus, he nearly died bringing this gift to him, hand-delivered, right? So it was a gift for Paul, but it was a sacrifice to God, and Paul is thankful for it. And his joy wasn't just that, oh yeah, my needs are met now, my physical needs, right? I can stay roughly warm now in this cold, damp prison. But his joy, his happiness also for them, the Christians there, because he sees how they're growing and how they have grown. He sees this, the light of Jesus in their life through this gift. So he was pleased for their sake, right? And some of us know this. The gift that you give benefits you more than the recipient of the gift. Why is that? The gift that you give benefits you more than the person who receives it. You know, spiritually, you know, Paul talks about this in verse 17. You know, this fruit is credited to their account, to the Christian's account. When you give, there's fruit or acknowledgement that's credited to your account, the giver. Right? We often think of Christian fruit in terms of character, like in Galatians chapter 5, you know, fruit of spirit. But fruit can also be like the people hear the gospel and they come to faith in Jesus. That's fruit, right? As a missionary, I like to keep track of that fruit. You know, people that hear the gospel and come to faith in it. I say, oh, yeah, that's always exciting to be part of that miracle that happens, right? The money here was considered fruit. And our gifts, as it says in our text today, they're encouraged by God. God encourages it, and it's noticed by God. He notices these gifts that are given, and it's acceptable and pleasing to him, so he desires it. God desires it. So there are many other ways that you can give, not just with money and things, right? Service, right? I'm sure many of you serve in some capacity here at this church, but it's not even just in this church. It could be at home, too. I mean, just think of parents know this. They do a lot of things for their kids. Grandparents know that. They do a lot of things for their kids and grandkids, right? Above and beyond. The children, too. You know, your service at home counts. I mean, as long as you're not doing it for yourself, right? It's wrong to serve or to give just to receive some blessing from God, right? That's not right. But when you give selflessly for the other person, that's fruit. That's fruit. It could even be an encouraging word. The gift of encouragement is sorely lacking nowadays. It's been lacking for like many years, actually. Because how many of you are ever receive a word of encouragement? Let me remind you guys. Actually, every week you hear a word of encouragement from Pastor Arthur here from the benediction. Those are encouraging words from God. Yeah. But when you receive a gift of encouragement, when you receive an encouraging word from someone who has the gift of encouragement, man. It's something special. You know, someone at church might need it. Someone at school might need it. They might need that word of encouragement. Someone at work. You know, they say depression nowadays, you know, they call it, it's a mental illness. It's like rampant nowadays. People need encouragement, right? Now, I can't tell you who you can help. Or who you need to help, or I can't tell you, or how you can help. You have to let the Heavenly Father show you, and He will show you. You know, ask Him, whatever it is, ask Him, and our Heavenly Father will help you know who and what, right? God will show you the way. And He's going to give you joy. Right? He'll give you joy. And here's a spiritual truth that's going to require a lot of faith, actually. A spiritual truth that requires faith. As you give of yourself to others, our Heavenly Father provides for your needs and blesses you. Even when you feel like you're just making it, right? You could say, this is where you are right now. And you give in however way. And you know when you give, it depletes you in some way. You give encouragement. Man, it takes a lot of effort. You're down here, right? You give materially, like financially, right? It depletes your resources. Some people like to give food. Yummy. You get less food, right? But God knows and he sees what you do. When you give of your time, you have less time now. But God somehow, and this is the part that requires faith, and it's part of God's miraculous power. He'll top you back off. You know, like when you go get your oil changed, they always says mechanics will top off your fluids. God tops you off too. Right? It takes faith. He'll supply your need. Right? But it's wrong to seek God for the reward. And then again, and more correctly, as God places the burden on your heart to care for specific people, he will also show you how to help. How you can be that gift to that person. It could be encouraging word, service, things. And he'll show you how you can love them, which is very important, to show love and compassion to them. Now, how many of you know of a lady named Johnny Erickson Tada? Most people know, right? Yeah, most people know her. You know, she's a lady known. She was when I first heard about her, I learned about her artwork. She's an amazing artist. But because she's a quadriplegic, she's paralyzed from the neck down. She paints with a paintbrush in her lips, and she just kind of paints somehow. She does it, right? And she became like that through a diving accident when she was only a young lady. I think she was in her late teens or early 20s, right? But even more amazing and encouraging to me is that God used her powerfully in sharing the gospel. As disabled as she is and still is, God used her to share the gospel to many, many people. God used her to encourage people who are also severely disabled. If you ever read about her life, it's amazing, right? And this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. In the early days of her disability, she was very discouraged. Very discouraged. She can't move. Struggled with her faith in Jesus. Struggled. And yet after her injury, and check this out, she's actually, or at least she grew up in the D.C. metro area. Believe it or not, for those of you who know her life. But here's something some of you guys may not know, but early on in her injury, God brought these two young men into her life, the Garriotts, Chuck Garriott and Craig Garriott. Any of you guys know them? Have they ever been here before? Yeah, they're buddies. Yeah, Chuck and Craig Garriott. Pastors Chuck and Pastors Craig. Yeah. So they, along with their youngest brother, Chris, they actually used them and as well as other brothers and sisters to encourage Johnny, encourage her through some of her darkest days. So if you ever get a chance to see Chuck, you can ask her about her, right? He'll be... he's seen all her artwork, right? And they gave of themselves. They gave of themselves to Johnny. And their friendship and their faithfulness to her was a gift of immeasurable price. And how did God bless the Garriotts? Well, you know him. You know them, right? They're pastors now. They're pastors now. They're kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. They've blessed Johnny. And she blessed them in return. And God's blessed the Gareots so that they can be a blessing to many people. And as Pastor Arthur said, at least Chuck has been here. Has Chris been here too? Oh, Chris, how about Chuck? All right. Both those brothers, they've been here. He's up in Baltimore, I think. I think he's still up there, right? But both Pastor Chuck and Pastor Chris, they've been a blessing to each one of you here. God continues to work, right? They were faithful in a little, right? But now they've been given a lot to be faithful in as they minister to a lot of other people. So God promises to supply every need of all his children according to the riches of the glory of his glory in Jesus Christ. And God will fill the need of every believer in Jesus out of his infinite wealth and resources. But don't just do this and believe just to get the things. Although God understands if you do have that desire, if you feel that need, he understands, right? But don't think you can ever exhaust God's grace. However your needs may be great, right? So with that in mind, allow our Heavenly Father to lead you to someone who you can be a blessing to. God will show you. And God will show you who it is, and he'll show you the way. And then God will give you great joy, right? Just like the Philippians, they didn't forget. They remembered and they gave to one in need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, pointing us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that you've given to us, reminding us of this great gift we have through Jesus, that we are reconciled to you, Heavenly Father, so that we can know you and walk with you and help others to walk with you. Please help us now to walk with you even more closely than ever for this coming week ahead of us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.